Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. Marina Carrier is our guest today, hailing from Edinburgh, Scotland. Now, Marina's life has not been one of sunshine and roses all the way through. I mean, she was born as an illegitimate, unwanted child, suffered sexual abuse by her stepfather up to age 9, when she was left for dead. But God, amen, but God. Despite her suffering, she continued to excel through school and through God's provision, was able to pass her classes well enough to train for and become a teacher, praise God. All her life, she continued to ask questions and gain wisdom through seeking the answers. This has enabled her to help those who've been diagnosed with learning disabilities to learn and grow as well. She lived in denial of what she went through for many years, including her own husband's betrayal. One night while praying, she heard her name called. And since then, now more than 30 years, I believe, God called her back to the church to minister to others who have also felt betrayal and abuse. She says they went through the dark night of the soul and found the mystery of the inner world and what it means to live in spirit and in truth. She learned a wonder of humility and the mystery of casting all her burdens on Christ and to live for him and by him. Amen. She's a counselor to those that seek help. She's the author of a trilogy of books, Treasures of Darkness, Your Will Be Done, and Children of God. With all that being said, help me welcome to the program, Marina Carrier. Marina, it is such a blessing to have you on the program today.
Well, thank you very much. Can I call you Pastor Bob?
Sure.
That's what you've become in my mind. You've summed it all up, you know, very succinctly and to the glory of God.
Amen. Amen. Well, the first question I always start with is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, can you tell us in your own words who is Marina Carrier?
Well, Marina Carrier is an honoring of God's work in my life, because I was actually baptized as a child as Gillian Heilwyn. Mm. Obviously with my mother's married name. Mm-hmm. But as I went through, as I came back to Christ, came back to faith, having faced my husband's betrayal, and me wanting to seek integrity, I had to realize, I had to come to accept that although I'd obviously in the past made a commitment to Christ, because I was baptized as a child, I'd made a commitment to Christ to follow him. I didn't know how to deal with my humanity.
Amen.
And even when I was, when I became, I came into the church in an evangelical charismatic Anglican church, and I was there about 4 or 5 years, but, you know, during that time, the Lord was leading me to serve, always leading me to serve, telling me to trust him with my healing. And really, so what I'm trying to get to is that I then went was called into the Catholic Church, because I was immediately called in the Anglican Church to have a hunger for the Eucharist, because all my time teaching, I hadn't been in a church. In those days in England, you had assemblies every morning. So I was praying the Lord's Prayer every morning, which, you know, glory to God, God used it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'd never received Eucharist, and there was a hardened heart deep within me. And then, so when I saw that the also charismatic Catholic Church in the town where in the village where I'd given my life back to Christ, I started going to them because they did morning prayers every morning as a community, and I was already doing morning
Amen.
prayers on my own.
Amen.
And so I eventually became Catholic, and as a Catholic went out to Switzerland. First of all, I mean, God has led me like this. Don't mention denominations to me. I look for Christ. So
Amen. Amen.
there was I out in Switzerland, staying as a Catholic, but staying in do you, I'm sure, well, he was American, so I'm sure you do. Labrie, boom, 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 boom. His son is still alive. Anyway, it was set up. Labrie was set up by an American, and it was evangelical. It wasn't charismatic at all. And he was led with his wife and family to create this community, for and to allow God to bring people. And it was my Anglican vicar who told me, "I think you have to go to Labrie." And he gave me the two books, one written by the wife about the community, and one, I think it's called, is it called Death in the City or Faith in the City? I can't remember. I'm sure you'll know his name, but I can't remember it. So I was in Switzerland for 3 months at this community, and I had to learn what living as a family meant
Amen.
because I didn't know.
Well, yeah, and from what I understand, you came from finding out in your early childhood that not only were you ostracized as being, quote unquote, illegitimate, but you found out your mother had actually tried to abort you as well. Is that
Well,
correct?
I didn't find that as a child. I
Oh,
only
okay.
found that, no, I didn't know all of that.
Oh, okay.
Only when I was head of department in a polytechnic, for in-service work for teachers, and I discovered one of my staff came to me and said, "I really think we should put on a day of in-service training for teachers so that they can recognize the needs of children or children who've been abused." And I said, "What a good idea. That's a very good idea. Do you want me to front it for with you?" And she said, "Yes, please." So there was I being exposed to all this information, and it was like jump, 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 tree ring deep within me. So I that's how it was started. But what I really want to say is when I went out to Switzerland, I went on when I went back out to Switzerland after the 3 months in the community. Francis Schaeffer. Have you heard of him? Yeah. Okay. Well, it was Francis Schaeffer's place, and so I'd been out there and came back to Switzerland to live as a hermit. Felt called to go up into the mountains, and I'd already sort of made contact with sort of monastic people in England, Anglican, and one of them said, "You're going out into the desert, you must get a spiritual father." So, cutting a long story short, I did get a spiritual father out there, and I stayed for 20 months altogether. But I came across Orthodoxy when I was on a retreat in Israel, and I thought, and I saw how they really valued and built up. It actually wasn't an all, it was a Catholic Orthodox, but it was Syrian Catholic sort of thing with an totally Orthodox in its liturgy. And I saw how they valued the Holy Spirit. I didn't think anything more of it, but cutting a long story short, when I came, I was 20 months in Switzerland, living as a Catholic, receiving the Eucharist every day. And it was like God was all the years I'd missed,
Amen.
God was building me. And a very dear Baptist friend who was horrified when I became Catholic, when I went to visit her, when I got back, and I just felt moved by the Spirit to ask if I could stay at her new place on the way back to where I was going. And after half an hour, she said, she stopped. And she said, Marina, I wasn't Marina then, I was Howin, but Howin, I just want to say, I take back everything I said about you becoming Catholic. You have totally changed.
Amen.
Because my heart was changed.
It's changed. That's right. That's the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So I eventually, I was led, by then I was wanting to pray at all times like St. Paul. And I went, when a friend invited me to a chrismation, her chrismation into the Orthodox Church, I went to this chrismation, but I wanted to confess something. So I said to the priest, can I confess? He said, well, I can hear you, but I can't give you absolution. So I confessed what it was. And then he said, oh, you must become an Orthodox monk. We need people praying about this. And it was about masculine and the masculine domination and authority, you know, wrong use of authority and things like that. And he told me to go to somebody in Edinburgh, and I was about to go to Edinburgh. This is a long way of saying that actually the Marina came from my becoming Orthodox. And I was led by an interior hearing of somebody saying, I want you to take my name. And I'd been hearing this name, Marina.
Amen.
And I didn't, I never trusted anything. I just say, Lord, if this is of you, then make it clear. And cutting a long story short, I went on the day that I needed to tell the priest, you know, what name I was taking, when it was all organized. And I realized that she was a martyr. Now, I still didn't mean anything. I just thought, okay, then there's a martyr in me that I need to own and acknowledge. But it was when I was working in a parish, and I'd been, it was a lot of trial. And one of the things about, I'll just say this for all the listeners, when we are seeking to live to the will of God, we are being, our boundaries are being extended.
Yes.
And those of you who have suffered abuse, you know, well, anybody, perhaps it's even worse for people who haven't been abused because they think they're righteous. But, you know, if you have been abused, it's very easy to get to the end of your boundary of your willingness. And I, you know, had already learned that I needed to say, I'm willing to be willing to be willing. But as we get pushed to our boundaries and yet turn to the Lord, he's able to bring more that is in the dark to the light.
Amen.
We can't do it.
That's right.
We cannot do it.
That's right.
But as we surrender and say, Lord, your will be done, and we feel the crucifixion. But then I've learned, this is where the third book, which says children of God, conform to the life-giving cross. So as we feel this, as we come to know that there's no real death here. It's an overcoming in Christ.
Yeah.
And there's going to be new life. That's where the joy comes in. And truly, as I feel pain now, I pray for others who are feeling this and don't know, don't Amen. Understand, and need me to have forgiveness, life, love for them. And thus we become temples of the Holy Spirit and life givers in the world.
Amen.
Not in our own strength.
Yeah, we can't do anything in our own strength.
Nothing.
The only thing we can do in our own strength is sin.
And say yes, my darling. Mm-hmm. And say yes like Mary did.
Mm-hmm.
We can agree. In fact, we need to.
Yeah.
But we,
Amen.
even our will. I mean, I say to people who work, you know, I work with, look, let me just say, here's God, open and willing to receive us, and here's us with our back to him. But if we say, and we know I'm not doing that, I can't do that, I haven't got the will to do that, whatever, all right? But if we can say, Lord, I'm willing to be willing to be willing to be willing to do your will, God can work because then
Amen.
we're open.
Yep.
And
Amen.
it, so, you know, we can't just, if we're true, and he wants our honesty. So I became Marina. And when I was working in the parish, one day there was a saint called Saint Manasse who had just learned how to read his Greek letters. And so, and it was his day. So I went and got the icon and put it in front and had done matins and then was honoring him. And I felt love. This is the mystery of iconography. Don't poo-hoo it until you've, you know, at least been open and willing to understand. But there is a truth, there is a reality which I don't understand, but I felt love that day.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I heard the words, you were a martyr, because I'd been struggling for about a month with anguish in my heart and anguish in my head, trying to confess, trying to forgive, trying to do all sorts of things. But nothing was making any difference until I heard those words.
Amen. Amen. Is that when you heard the voice call your name?
The name, no, because I was actually, that was the name was before I became Orthodox. So I'd been given the name Marina when I first became Orthodox. But no, that so that was just the confirmation of why I was given that name, if you like.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's lay a little bit of the groundwork before we get into your books. Now, as we mentioned in the opening, you've been abused by your stepfather. And, you know, did your mother know that this was even going on as you were growing up?
There was a lot of damage for her too. I mean, this is what the Holy Spirit has revealed for me. It's taken 20 years to unpack this and to own and understand the long, and this for all of you listening who have been abused, this is why we really need to embrace the dark night of the soul. Because these things cannot be revealed except through the Holy Spirit. They are too painful. And I had the spirit of abortion was constant in use through my life. Because if something life-giving and loving was going on, things would stop. It would be stopped. Now I have to trust that God was in all these
Oh,
things. I have to trust that he knew where he was bringing me to. But it is very real, you know, the spirit of abortion, because it's like, and only recently, only very recently, I received some healing because the child in me felt guilty for being alive because my mother was so unhappy at my life.
Amen.
So when
And
she,
go ahead.
so you know, anyway, it's all muddled up with it with that, but it's gone.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, at 9 years old, you said that you had been left for dead. What were the circumstances about that?
It's a bit gory. I'll just tell you in metaphorical terms. Okay? He had been abusing me in virtually all my orifices, you know, over a period of years. And I'd obviously reached a point where this was not going to happen anymore. And so presumably the Holy Spirit had worked in me. I don't know. I don't understand it. But I tried to stop him. And he held me down and he used my mouth. And of course, the spiritual effects of this is that A, I'm not allowed life. I'm not allowed the truth, and I'm not allowed to stop abuse. Now, in fact, and there's a psalm that actually speaks of this, and God gave me this when I was, you know, going through my healing. It says something like, in effect, it says, I stopped, it doesn't use the word abuse, but I stopped the abuse that was happening to you, and you didn't need to be afraid anymore. But of course, it was all locked. This is the problem with trauma. It gets locked in the body, and it's not necessarily released. And so I actually, from then on, and this is what God revealed to me, God gave me his spirit. So I had about, I don't know, my sister, she never gave me a time scale, but I went into depression after this. So I was like a child, you know, who couldn't trust anybody. And yet God then gave me intellectual grace. And I went from being sort of bottom of the class to top by the time I was 11 and passed a grammar school. And then, I mean, my mother was never able to help me at school. She hadn't been encouraged. She hadn't been allowed to take up the grant that had been given to both her and her brother for higher education, although she went to a public school in London. You know, I mean, it's very, very sad. I don't blame my mother. She was a damaged woman. And, you know, but it takes time. But within me, there was a child longing for a mother. So I've had to learn to switch that yearning to a cry for Christ.
Yeah, amen. Did you ever share the abuse or anything with anyone as you're growing up? Or
well, not as I was growing up, because I didn't fully know it. But you see, God gave me his spirit. I was living through the Holy Spirit, and I forgave. I understood my stepfather's brokenness and neediness. But, you know, I had to live in denial of mine.
What led you into the calling of becoming a teacher?
God. I wanted to, you know, I'd love being a writer even then, you know. I think after the abuse, he gave me a poem for the coronation. If I could see the coronation in the coach, I'd see her in her coach, I'd see the queen. I would join with all the nation, wishing her a happy reign. That was the year. That was after the abuse. I think God gave me the ability to lift up. So when I was in the sixth form, you know, well, at school, at grammar school, he gave me a boyfriend when I was 15 and sort of failing, who taught me how to reduce, because I'm actually quite dyslexic, who taught me how to reduce my notes down to 2 pages. So I was able to pass enough. This is why I say God did. So I was able to pass enough exams at the end of the fourth year to be able to take the requisite amount of what we call O levels, ordinary levels, you know, in the like the fifth year of school, and then go on to take the A levels to go to university. So, and was given, I had to take a third one, so I took scripture. So I took religious studies as one my third A level. But I didn't pass high enough to get to university to go and study English to become a writer. So the teacher suggested, the head teacher suggested that I did a year's unqualified teaching and went to teacher training college.
Amen, amen. And then fast forward a few more years and you're now married, you had an adopted child, and you received a scholarship to go back and get your PhD.
I know. Absolutely. Unbelievable. Oh, God. Because I didn't apply for the PhD.
Amen.
Yeah. I was just, I'd done a master's degree because somebody said, look, if you want to go on, you know, and apply for headships, you need a degree. So, you know, you better go and get one. So they, the only, at all suitable thing, and I had got advanced diplomas, so I was able to apply for the master's degree. And at the end of that, I knew, but they really liked the dissertation that I'd done. Although I'm going to share something that somebody said about the dissertation. How can something so good be so boring? And this is the this is the reality of my life and my thinking. There was no heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Great intellectual whatever, but no heart. This is why God needed to bring me back, you know, and give me his body and blood. But anyway, so I mean, that's what I did, the PhD, and for 3 years on a scholarship, and got it after 4 years, and the department just kept giving me work to do until I moved on to higher education for teacher training. So and that's where I you know really reached breaking point, because I'd left my husband, and my son had stayed behind because he was out of control. I mean, it was a nightmare time. Nightmare.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. What a time for today's portion of this great interview with Marina Carrier. I'm telling you, folks, she is awesome. And the inspiration she's been sharing with us, the story she's told, the life she's lived, and to be able to serve God through all of it. Praise God for women like her. And I pray she is an inspiration to everyone listening to us right now. I encourage you, drop down the show notes, reach out to her, give her some words of encouragement, and purchase her trilogy of books. The links are down below in the show notes. But this is only half of the interview. It gets even better, praise God. You need to come back in the very next episode to hear the conclusion. Till then, this is Pastor Bob Ryan. Be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.